Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ray Graff, and for Joe Donahue. Today, Matt Tannenbaum and Michael Schiavo from the bookstore in Lenox join us with a fine list of titles. Matt, Michael, thanks for being here, guys. We appreciate you making the trip.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
Nice to see you here.
Where would we like to begin today?
We're going to start with a book of short stories by Leslie Tenorio called Monstrous. It's an original paperback from HarperCollins. Leslie is coming to read from this book on Friday night, coming to our bookstore in Lenox on Friday night, along with Bruce Snyder, a poet. This is the first collection of short stories, getting a lot of attention. Leslie is a Filipino. These are about seven or eight stories of, I'm going to say, people who are a little on the outside. Outsiders, they are, the stories are set, some in the Philippines, some are set in the States and California. The one I finished reading this morning, called Save the Eye Hotel,
mm-hmm.
about two old Filipino men who met 40 years ago and are the last two people who are living in this downtown hotel in San Francisco that the town, the city is tearing down.
Mm.
And it's a very tender story. Leslie writes very, very tender. He writes very intimate stories about these characters. I want to read one paragraph from the story.
Oh, good.
The elevator, this is the Save the Eye Hotel. The elevator reached the lobby. The doors opened and Vicenta stepped out, then closed again. Fortunata had never struck a person before, but there were times in his life he wondered what it might be like, and now he knew. The force of everything you are in a single gesture at a single moment, the hope that it will be enough and the fear that it won't. No different than a kiss. What Leslie does is what a good short story writer will do. He'll invent something, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Let's say it's fiction. He'll invent something, and then he'll take you there, and he'll say, "This is what I want to tell you about." This is, and he wants to tell you about it as if, you know, a writer loves the public. Wants to, you know, it's like writing a letter home. Dear Mom, this is what happened today,
yeah.
And that's what Leslie does. And that's I love a good short story.
And when will Leslie be at the store?
Friday night, 7:00.
Okay.
And the story is the book is called Monstrous. That's the title story about a girl monster.
Well, all right.
In the movies, a girl monster in the movies. A great story. Great, good title story. The next one I want to talk about is Alana Chernilla is on the Board of Selectmen in Great Barrington. She's a Great Barrington resident, and her book is called The Homemade Pantry, 100 Foods You Can Stop Buying and Start Making.
Mm.
And this is, Ray, this I'm going to see if I can get you a copy of this book. You know, this will be, you know, if you don't get any sleep yet, now you can lose a couple more hours by making, let's say, cucumber pickles.
I love it.
She starts here. She says, Alana lives in Great Barrington with her husband Joey and their kids Sadie and Rose. And one hot midsummer morning, I had to run to work and leave Joey and the kids carless for the day. They were on summer vacation, and I could tell he was facing the expanse of time with some dread. There are cucumbers in the fridge. Make pickles. That was all I had to offer, and I felt a little bad about it as I said it. But Joey rose to the challenge, and this is a great book. When I was home feeding my children, you learn to improvise. And what Alana basically does in this book, she doesn't repeat it, but you get this sense over and over again. Don't be afraid of food. Food is, you can have a lot of fun with food, and
sure.
there are some things you want to buy. There's some things you can start to make. The one thing that I'm going to start to make, my next challenge, I've never done this before. I've never made butter.
You know, I just opened the page and
there you
thought
go.
To myself,
okay.
You know, there's one thing I never even thought about Kids making that. Is butter. And there you go.
And
cream and salt.
It's yeah. cream and salt. And you can be tense, you can be anxious, but don't be afraid.
I love it.
Okay, that's Alana Chinilla.
And that's a whopping book, too.
Yeah, from Crown Potter. Great book. She just had a book party down in Great Barrington last week. We're going to have her in early May, and we're going to have a potluck at the bookstore. That's the first Friday night in May. I can't remember the date. The next one I want to tell you about, and then I'm going to give you Michael, is Jack Kerouac's new novel.
Huh?
Jack Kerouac, he died in 1969.
Yeah, that's a good trend. I'll be darned.
This is called The Sea Is My Brother. This was his first novel. They're calling it the lost novel. Those of us who knew know it was not lost. It was just not published, and for good reason.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jack was experimenting. He was finding his voice. He had graduated from Lowell High School as a football hero, went to Columbia on a football scholarship, had to go to Horace Mann for a year to get his academics up, then went to Columbia and broke his ankle.
And the
coach wouldn't take that for an excuse. And Jack went back and started reading Dostoevsky, and that was the end for football. He joined the Merchant Marine, but he always wanted to be a writer. He started writing. He was writing back in high school. He was writing before he got to Columbia. He joined the he shipped out on the Dorchester, which was after he left. It was torpedoed in the North Atlantic, mm-hmm. and the Dorchester was famous because that was the ship the four chaplains were on. The four mm-hmm. chaplains who went down, who gave their life jackets up to the sailors.
Yeah.
And but that was the ship he was on. So this, The Sea Is My Brother, is an early attempt of Jack to come to terms with his own dichotomy, his own two characters. He has one, a tough merchant marine, and the other is this intellectual from Columbia.
So it's 5 or 10 years before he really hit the scene, right?
This is 42, 49, he published The Town and the City, which was another novel like this. It was 49, 50 that he wrote On the Road, wasn't published till 1957.
Yeah.
So this is early, not that good, but it's fun to read.
And what's not so good about it?
it's a little, Ray, if we showed the readers the stuff that you wrote when you were in... just starting to write, you would say, "Oh, no, don't!" I was just learning how to express myself.
Yes, if we showed the readers what I write now, we could also say the same thing.
Let me turn the program over to Michael. He's going to talk to you about some poetry. Then maybe I'll come back at the end.
All right, Michael Schiavo. I know how to say your name.
Thank
now.
You.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be here with Mr. Tannenbaum. And it's a nice segue from Kerouac into the first book I'm going to talk about, which is a book of poetry. In fact, these are all verge on the poetic. It's called Sermons and Lectures Both Blank and Relentless by Matt Hart. And he is a poet out in Cincinnati, Ohio. This is his fourth or fifth book at this point, all by small presses. This one is by Typecast Publishing.
Okay.
And Matt Hart is he's a punk rocker. He's a modern day Corso, Gregory Corso, who is friends with the Beats. A fantastic poet, and he runs a press called Forklift Ohio. It's a small press that does chapbooks and books. They did Dean Young, who was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. So he's the real deal when it comes to poetry. And I'd like to read just a little excerpt. Sermons and Lectures Both Blank and Relentless is kind of a series of different poems that is in blank verse. And what I'm going to read might not sound like Shakespeare or Milton, but trust me.
Yeah.
So just this little excerpt. Gorgeously Malbec of stupid remorse, black rocket of off course when we run into jerks, the clouds set to boil and with no clear ideas, but all of our friends come apart at the outset, the seams which seem lightly, or jumping on the bed, we pour out our heads to our hearts in their sockets, the littlest birds always make the most racket. So it's kind of a...
Should be snapping my fingers.
Yeah, man. Cool. It is. It's a shout out to the universe.
Well, all right. So
the next book I'll mention is also by a small press, and it's poetic, but it's in paragraphs. So people who don't like poetry.
That's right. Conformist.
Yes, conformist. But can read it. And this is another kind of mouthful of a title.
Okay.
Not Merely Because of the Unknown That Was Stalking Toward Them by Jenny Bully. And it's
half the story.
Yeah. But it's a revisioning of sorts of the Wendy and Peter Pan story.
Mm.
What happens?
This is pretty cool.
What happens after? Right. What happens when Neverland and perpetual boyhood continue? And it's a little dark, but it's told from the Wendy's perspective.
Okay.
band? How do you take care of these lost boys?
All right.
And the last book I'll mention is not a new book. It's a few years old, but it's another book of poetry called Verge, V-E-R-G-E, by Morgan Lucas Schult, who was a great poet, a very good friend of mine, who about a month ago passed away from cystic fibrosis, which he had, of course, his whole life. And he was 33 years old, which is quite a miracle in itself. And I'm going out this Saturday to Tucson, Arizona, to honor him amongst other people with a reading of his poetry. And he was a great poet. Kind of in the
an editor too
of Q Editions, and which is a great small press. And this book Verge is out from Parlor Press, and it's hard to describe his poetry. Kind of runs the gamut. If you like kind of avant-garde language poetry, Dadaist poetry, but if you like Keats, if you like romantic with a capital R poetry,
yeah,
or a small R, or erotic poetry, if I can say that on WAMC. Morgan Lucas Schult is the poet for you. So to celebrate National Poetry Month, I just wanted to mention him and his great work.
And I think you want to say also something about the small presses that we've always carried at the bookstore.
Always carried small presses at the bookstore. In fact, small presses are the reason that bookstores still exist. Large publishers are the reasons bookstores still exist too. But we are great advocates of small presses, like Tarpaulin Sky, who did the Jenny Bully book, and that's a local press in Grafton, Vermont. And Christian Pete, who's the editor there and a poet himself, has just puts out fantastic books inside and out, and he got hit pretty bad by Hurricane Irene. So if you guys want to support small presses and small independent bookstores like the bookstore in Lenox, please come on in and buy these great books that we have to recommend.
You know, this is great. This is a question I always wanted to ask. You guys are on the front line. And so, you know, the landscape of publishing and books and things that you can hold has changed and is changing. Are the small presses the last best hope?
I don't know if they're the last best hope, but they are the heart of it.
Yeah.
You know, so the big presses, the Simon & Schuster, Random House, Harper, they are, I can't speak for them, but they appear to be running scared. You know, they've made deals with the big distributors. I'm not going to mention names.
I hear you.
and that landscape is changing so fast, they're getting caught. They're big. They're like big tall buildings in a high wind, and the small presses are closer to the ground. And a small store like ours is closer to the heart of the people. So I think the people who are doing the e-reading, they used to come in and tell me about their e-readers. Oh, I got this.
Yeah.
Now they're gone. They don't come in to bother me anymore. it's really kind of a relief. So we're left with the core of the people who like to read.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Now, saying that, I'll say that I have one more book.
Okay, and we have about a minute. a minute.
I do have another book by a big publisher, Simon & Schuster, which is a good publisher, and they put out a good product. Let me digress for a minute. When these big publishers now put out books print on demand publishing.
Yeah.
They'll hold on to the copyright. They'll let go of the inventory, and then they'll print it on demand. And the quality is not that good.
Yeah.
Small presses, the quality is great. Here's one from Simon & Schuster called "I'll Save You, Bobo."
Oh, I love these.
By Eileen and Mark Rosenthal, second in a series of Bobo books.
Yep.
Bobo's the monkey, Willie's the kid, Earl is the bad cat who tries to destroy them both.
And we've got the first one, and that one
is just
as good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, guys, we are out of time. The bookstore is located at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts, or online at bookstorelenox.com. Matt, Michael, thanks for being here, guys. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.